Welcome to Ed Said for today, October 5th, 2016. It is Wednesday, almost done with the work week. I don't know why I'm so tired. It must be the debate last night, staying up as long as I did. I didn't plan on it, but I got into it and I was tweeting and, well, then didn't fall asleep till like 11, 11:30. I don't think I was amped up because of it, but, and I'm not tired. I'm tired in that regard, but I'm just tired. I'm worn out. This election seems to have been going on for a decade, and just the exchanges between people, be it online or in person or in the vitriol and the lines drawn, is just exhausting. And I hope everyone is tired of it as I am. And post-election day, no matter what happens, that we can just cool out for a little while and realize that we're all just trying to do the same thing and really point our attention at our local politicians and each other and say, hey, how can I help you? How can we be helpful? Look at people who need help. And if it's you, ask for it. There's just this, I don't know if it's a false sense of victimhood or a inflated sense of knowledge. And you're talking to somebody whose job is to flap their gums and act like they know, which I don't. I talk about what I know, and if I'm wrong, I'm willing to admit it. But it seems that everybody is a contrarian now, and that even when proved wrong, they'll find some way to weasel out of it or say, well, that's how I feel. Well, your feelings are legitimate to you, but not to the rest of us. If you feel like the sky is red when it's plainly blue, then what are we going to do? If you feel that the moon is made of cheese when it's not, we can't argue your feelings. And it seems that many people are being carried by their feelings all around. This isn't a partisan thing or a particular party. It is a partisan thing, but it goes across all party lines. And I just hope that we can redirect all of this frustration, I think is really what it is, back at who deserves it. And those are our politicians who aren't making decisions. We send them there to make decisions in our best interests. Not necessarily agree with us 100%. And we have to learn to accept that, that what we want isn't always what the majority of people want or what is right by rule of law. And if they're not doing that, all they're doing is stonewalling. And that's what we're looking at. Look at the Supreme Court pick. They've been sitting on that for months. And now people are complaining, well, if Hillary wins, I don't want her to have it. Well, then maybe they should have gotten Garland in there already. He's not a bad pick. Even if you're a conservative, he's fairly moderate. But here we are. All because of sides. Just stop picking sides. That's all I want. And I'm just worn out. I don't know what I'm going to talk about when this election is over. There's plenty going on in the state. We've got the proposed tunnel up in Hartford, the stadium there. Those two things alone keep me busy. Obviously, the budgetary problems for the state and attracting new businesses as well. So I'll have plenty to talk about. So maybe that'll be helpful, because having the election, it's easy fodder, and maybe sometimes I fall for it too much, and maybe I'll try to do a better job of that. At the same time, it's an important election. It's a presidential election, but the president doesn't operate in a vacuum. I say this all the time, and it's important that we remember that. So when we go to the polls locally, ask, again, who's doing what for you? Or are they doing it for themselves? And if you're not getting the results you want, or if you're seeing the same people doing the same things year in, year out, get rid of them. Try something new. Enjoy today's podcast.
Fox News legal analyst, never wrong about anything, joining us now to go over the top legal stories of the week. Good morning, Lise. How are you?
Good morning. Never wrong about anything?
I had to make a transition.
Can you give a direct line to my children? That would be great.
So the first story on our list is about Derrick Rose. And that he was accused of rape and his accuser must reveal their identity. Can you tell me about this?
Okay, yeah. First of all, it's in a civil case, not the criminal case.
Oh.
He hasn't been accused criminally yet. Yeah, it's still, though, very odd because you think about it. I mean, you know, in most places, generally, a woman does not have to give up her identity when she goes to court and in a rape case. I mean, that's kind of part of the deal, really, is that she doesn't have to be quote-unquote raped all over again when she goes into court on a rape case. The judge what the judge decided was that because it's a civil case, because the whole idea is to determine whether or not she has been raped, that you can't tell the jurors that she's a Jane Doe, because that then tells that signals the jurors that she's been a victim, that she's been victimized, right? So I'm just going through the judge's thinking here. So if you signal to the jurors that she's a Jane Doe, you signal that she's been a victim. If you signal that she's been a victim, then you signal that the defendant is guilty. You can't do that.
So
that's his thinking.
Is there a criminal case happening?
They're investigating still.
So why can't the civil case be put off until guilt is determined?
Well, that's you nail on head. That's exactly right. Usually the criminal case goes forward first, and the civil case follows, and you use the criminal case to bootstrap your civil case, right? Because you can bring the criminal case into it. You can say, look, they already found him guilty of a criminal matter. But that's not what's happening here.
That just seems so weird to me.
I know.
Because I get the understanding of anonymity and the need for it.
I know.
And then, not to tie something else into it, but on the flip side, it seems as though, and this is such a sticky thing, because you want anyone who has been a victim of this to come forward. But there are very few, there are cases of where people have lied, and you've got these people who have been accused, and their name is all over the news. And even if you're found not guilty, it can ruin lives.
Correct. That has happened. That
so
is correct.
Should we not?
On the other hand, you know, there are people that are walking around out there that have done horrible things. That are, you know, walking around out there that have done horrible things.
Yeah, I mean, should we start waiting to publicize anything until a conviction?
Well, but then you have people around there. Well, but okay, let me go back on that now. Beyond a reasonable doubt is a very high standard.
Yes.
And people always ask me, when I was a prosecutor, oh my gosh, Lise, isn't it really hard to go in there and, you know, prove that standard? It must be so hard for you. And, you know, what's the hardest part of your job? And I'd say, hardest part of my job is knowing that there are people out there that did it, and I don't have enough evidence to prove that they did. I know they're out there, and I know they did it, but they're just walking around there because I don't have enough evidence to know. I can't make that standard, even though I know that they did it. That's the hard part of my job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just not that cut and dried.
Yeah, and it just
so some, but a civil lawsuit is a much lower standard. It's a 51-49% standard, whereas beyond a reasonable doubt is like a 95% standard.
Yeah, and so this line of thinking got me to, you know, when they do always the stings where they get all the Johns and prostitution and they plaster
right.
their faces all over the place. I just think that we have made too much of a media circus over the criminal justice system. I do think it needs to be monitored and reported, but yeah, when somebody gets charged with something and then exonerated, the exoneration's always on page 7, whereas
right.
the charges are on the front page.
Right, that's true too.
These are
societal questions. These
right.
are bigger questions.
We can't fix that all today, can we, Lise?
We can try. you want to take me out for a cup of coffee? I mean, that's going to be a longer discussion.
It's a big cup of coffee. Let's move to Texas.
That's a big cup of coffee.
And look at this distracted driving lawsuit. Now, is who's suing who in this case?
Okay, well, the woman who actually caused the accident and caused a very sad case, actually, two people to die and one to be a paraplegic, is suing Apple and is saying there should have been a lock feature on the app so that when she got in the car and when she was driving, it would have actually stopped her from driving. And so it's sort of a, you know, I'm not going to take responsibility for my actions kind of thing. And also I'm going to owe a lot of money in civil lawsuits kind of thing also. And I'm going to go for a deep pocket, which, of course, Apple is.
And the hope in her case is that they'll settle and she'll score some cash, but won't that set a precedent?
If I were counseling Apple, I would say don't settle, because if you settle with them, they're going to be 14 other lawsuits out there.
14 million other lawsuits, like all their users.
I was going to say, I'm going to be trying to be nice to you.
People are going to be wrecking their cars on purpose in order to get a payout.
Right. There are going to be so many other people that are going to want to settle this lawsuit. Don't do it. Don't do it, Apple.
Right.
And I'm sure they've got smart lawyers that are telling them the same thing. Don't do it.
For people who complain about, you know, the ladders having and hammers having warning labels,
right, exactly. Don't bop yourself on the finger with a hammer.
Yeah, this is about personal responsibility. I could operate. I could try to, you know, chop up meat or vegetables while driving, and that would end badly. I can't sue the knife and maker because I was trying to cook.
Think about things even more practical. Like, what if you got a kidnapped victim in the back of the car? They can't call 911. Or you've got someone, you know, who's in a car driving and they see somebody else that's drunk and driving or something. They can't call 911. You can think of a million exceptions.
Right.
Well, maybe not a million. You can think of a lot of exceptions where somebody really righteously should be calling and while they're driving. There are exceptions to driving and texting. You know, there are where you really should be able to do it.
Yeah, it's just a lack of personal responsibility. You're right. It's a money grab.
And a deep pocket. And she's going to be owing, I'm sure, a lot of people a lot of money. And so she's just looking around. She's got some lawyer saying, let's figure out where to sue.
And now tell me about the ballot selfie, because this is just the height of our narcissism these days.
I know. I'm glad I'm just so not technology, really not technology based. But let me see. There are so many states that banned ballot selfies, and New Hampshire was one of them until the court said no, we're going to take that ruling off. But started from Alabama to Wisconsin. Now I'm just going to check. Okay, you're in Hartford, Connecticut. You are not one of the states that bans ballot selfies. Let's see. Are you in Oregon? The law, okay, the law is unclear in these states, Arkansas, Connecticut. Okay, so the law is unclear in your state, but it's amazing. From Alabama through Wisconsin, there are about 25 states by my count. That's a quick count there that bans ballot selfies. And the idea behind it is to avoid vote buying. In other words, taking the picture and going out to, you know, Stan outside and say, hey, look, Stan, I took it. Look, here's my proof.
Right, here's proof that you paid me $100.
Right. Or voter intimidation, telling the same Stan, look, I voted for Joe Schmo. You go in there and vote for Joe Schmo, or else I'm going to punch you in the nose. See?
We are all just exhibitionists on every level now.
Unbelievable.
Fox News legal analyst Lise Wheel, thank you so much for your time. Always a pleasure to chat.
Take care.
Yeah, it was a big night last night as the vice presidential candidates squared off at Longwood, not Norwood, University in Virginia. That was just a quick slip. I'm not going to get on Pence for that. It just didn't seem like a lot of people noticed it. 888-574-2723. Your thoughts on the debate. Let's go to Ken in Bloomfield. Good morning, Ken.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well.
So you said Mike Pence took over and there was a balanced budget, but he kept a balanced budget, and you failed to say he has a $2 billion surplus. Something like Connecticut had a big surplus before Malloy took over, and look where we are, and look where his state is.
Well, a balanced...
Is that the kind of guy you would like to lead rather than somebody that other senator, Kane, has a $2 billion deficit in his?
A balanced budget is required by law, so let's not break our arms patting him. And the surplus, at what cost? Look what he did to teachers in the state. He's not popular in Indiana if you actually dig a little deeper. And living in Virginia at the time Kane was there, people actually liked the results he got. I lived in Richmond, moved there the year it was third per capita for murders, and was there for 10 years, and I could see the improvements. So having lived in one place against the other, I'll look at the numbers. You know, he said, Pence said he wouldn't get involved in social issues when he's effectively handed the position, and he did. He broke his promise because, as he said, he's a Christian first. And, again, that's not how politics should be.
Well, if you give away all the money, then you run into a big deficit. That's the situation that this Cain is in, and that's something you can't do. So, you know, there's something to be said for being broke and having nothing, or having a bunch of money in the budget to take care of problems when they might arise.
Yeah, but what problems? He's deeming certain problems. He ignored a needle program that was needed. Now there's an AIDS epidemic in the state. So you can't sacrifice one for the other. You're supposed to be serving your people. And when you focus on the dollars, you lose focus on the people. Well, Ken, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Gabriella for what I'm sure will be an interesting perspective on last night's debate.
Good morning, darling.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing well. A little tired. Okay. Didn't want to stay up that late.
Okay, let me tell you this about... You know I'm Hispanic, okay, darling?
No.
Let's get something clear. A lie, when it's repeated over and over again, and a talking point, it become a truth. When Trump said the thing about the Mexican, give me a chance to explain that to you. He said the following. He said, I understand that a lot of Mexicans come over here for a better life, and they come over to work and be very good. However, together with those good ones that comes the criminals, the rapists, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he didn't lie, darling. Look at what happened with Kate Stanley. You know how many times they have had Mexican people who have come from over there, they working very hard, and they get sad because they far away from home, they get drunk, and they take two and three family walking down in the street, driving drunk without insurance. We have all kind coming through the border. We have the nice ones that come over to work very hard, like we do Dominicans. I'm Dominican, okay? We have Dominicans that come over here, and we don't have borders, but we come with yolas, you know, like those little makeshift boats. But we have people who come over to do harm to the United States of America. No, he didn't say that all Mexicans are rapists, like Clinton and all them repeat over and over ad nauseum. He said that together with the nice ones, we have a lot of criminals, and we do. We have Mara people. You know what a Mara is? We have Mara people from Nicaragua and Honduras who come over and destroyed over there in California. I wish you see those Mara people. They look like demons, back with tattoos and doing harm to people right and left. So, you know, this thing, and then the thing about the insults. What about the bimbo eruptions? You don't remember the bimbo eruptions that Hillary Clinton say to all the ladies that were having trouble with Bill Clinton sexuality when she say that women...
Gabriella, when do you breathe? Can I get a word in now?
Well, you didn't say you wanted a word.
All right. I was letting you go, but you're going all over the place. And what I'm trying to say to you is that all-encompassing generalities don't help anyone, because all those things you described, people who commit crimes, people who rape, they already exist here. They're bad people.
We don't need them from far away. We could deal with the ones that we got here.
But you don't know. You don't know what's in someone's heart. Gabriella, I'm going to let you go. Thank you for the call. You've had 5 minutes, or however long that was, seemingly very long. You can't tell what somebody's intentions are. You don't know. There are plenty of people here who are citizens who do bad things. And let's not lose focus of what we're talking about. You're confusing the issue here. Pence tried to paint the Clinton-Cain campaign as the insult-driven campaign. At the same time, Donald Trump was tweeting out, Cain looks like an evil crook out of the Batman movies. I agree, Cain looks like a fool. Those are from Donald Trump's account. You can't say one thing and then do the other. Mike Pence was upset that Tim Kaine was asking him questions based on what Donald Trump said. And when you split hairs, which you seemingly are doing when you're saying, like, no, most of them are good, but they're sending their rapists, they're bringing the drugs, the crime. Here's what he said. They're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people. So what you quoted wasn't the exact quote. The implication is no, Mexico isn't sending its good people. It's sending our worst to us. But what I am talking about is Pence's inability to focus on what was leveled at him. He instead was saying that, no, the Clinton-Cain campaign is the negative one, when Donald Trump is clearly the one who throws out insults on the daily. This is a disconnect from reality. And he did it with a straight face, seemingly believing it. If you can't acknowledge that Trump insults everyone in his path, including Hillary, mocking her for her problems on 9/11, mocking reporters, mocking pretty much everyone, if you can't acknowledge that there is some sort of irony to Pence accusing the Clinton-Cain camp of being the negative campaign, you have blinders on. You are completely removed from reality. It's called being objective. I can look at Hillary, who, again, from day one, I have said was not my favorite choice, was not my preferential choice, was not a good choice. But we're left with two options, and of the two, she is the better. You can acknowledge, I can acknowledge that she made plenty of mistakes. Shouldn't have had that server. Should have had the proper security. Shouldn't have been so careless with phones. Shouldn't have had more than one. But the Trump camp seems themselves, let alone their followers, seem incapable of acknowledging their own shortcomings. And that's just a problem. If you can't self-reflect and be critical of yourself or your candidate, you're blinding yourself. Let's go to Jack in East Longmeadow. Good morning, Jack.
Hi there.
What's going on?
Who's that comedian that's noted for insulting people? What the heck was his name? What the heck's his name?
Oh, which one? From way back when?
Yeah, kind of.
I can't even remember, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, great. He has a Jewish name. I really love him. He's a wonderful, wonderful comedian. He just insults the heck out of you. Everyone. Anyway, I have relatives in Mexico and in South Texas, and I recently spent 8 years there. 8 years. And I can tell you, I don't know if Mexico and Central America and South America are sending up their worst people, their dregs. I don't know that. But I know they are not sending their best. I can tell you that. And you know, we already have people on welfare. We already have people with all kinds of problems. And we're already being patched to take care of them. We don't need tens of millions more. We have 100 million already. Now, as far as that debate last night, you know what stuck out with me? I said, wow. What stuck out with me was that they were civilized. When it was over and done with, I felt that those two men could go somewhere, you know, have a glass of wine together, have a beer together, you know, whatever they drink. I had a feeling that it was civilized, and that's what this country needs. It needs civilization, because that's what we're losing. We're losing our Western civilization. We're losing America. And I thought, anyway, I felt good about that.
Well, Jack, I appreciate the call. 888-574-2723. And civilized comes with respecting other people's positions and opinions. You can disagree with them and still get along with them. We're all along on this ride called life for however long it lasts for each of us individually or as a planet, depending on how much more the sun expands over the next few thousand years. Of course, we won't be there. But when we allow, it goes back to what I said. When we allow our designation to be Republican first or Democrat first or, you know, Christian first or Jewish first or Muslim first, when we allow that designation, that is where the problem is. The designation is human first. We're human first, and understanding that as humans, we all have experiences. And then, if we're going to look at it on a national level, we should be American first. And that is not to say that someone who moves here from somewhere else can't take pride in their customs and ways. But we're American first. And we should remember that. And the laws that govern our country allow for that. And again, that's where my problem with Pence is that he puts his religion and party standing first. And I respected Kane for being able to say that he looks at the law first and how it works. And we do need more civility. Because here's the way I look at it. You should be able to live your life as you see fit, as long as it isn't detrimental or harmful to others. So, you want to swing a stick around in your backyard? Great. The minute it comes in contact with someone else, you've done wrong. You want to tattoo yourself up? Fine. You want to dye your hair pink in a mohawk that's 6 feet tall? Good. You want to say what you want to say? Great. But the minute you start affecting other people negatively is where the line should be drawn. And that's kind of how the law is. Whether it's making threats, assaulting someone, forcing your beliefs on someone. What you believe doesn't necessarily apply to anyone else. But as long as you aren't being denied your right to act and believe as you see fit, and as long as those actions and beliefs don't negatively harm someone else, you know, what's the problem? You want to smoke weed? You want to smoke cigarettes? You want to drink beer? Great. As long as you don't harm anybody else. But this idea that your feelings, your beliefs are the top tier, the supreme ones, and need to be applied to everybody, it doesn't work for me. Because you know what? As much as I think I know, and as smart as I might think I am, I can admit I don't have it all figured out. So if you want to not work on a particular day of the week because that's your belief, or you want to go to a certain building on a certain day of the week, if that's your belief, great. Me not doing that doesn't affect you. And it's the same with the pledge and the anthem. Me standing or not standing doesn't hurt anyone. But we're nosy and we like to get in other people's business, I guess.